Look, we're up to a Perek Vav, Braisa Dalad, which is a famous statement, Kachi Darka Shel Torah. This is the way it is sometimes with someone who's involved in learning Torah. I'll explain what I mean by saying sometimes in a second. Pas Bamelech Tochel. Very simple. You have bread with some salt. Umayim Bamesura Tishte. Water, a small amount. Valar Tishon. Sleep on the floor. V'chayet Tzara Tiche. You can live a life of... or a good word for tsar would be limits or deprivation. Doesn't mean anguish. But Torah atoma, but you toil in Torah. Imata osa kein ashrecha v'tovlach, ashrecha b'olam hazeh v'tovlach l'olam haba. There's an important Mishnah because the simple reading of the Mishnah is that a person who is involved in Torah, the best thing is not to involve himself too much in any kind of physical comfort or physical pursuits. Eat simple food, drink in measured amounts, be willing to sleep on the floor, and even live a life of some deprivation. And you can work through Torah. There are a number of different ways to understand it. I said sometimes. On one level, the simple reading is that a person should be willing to do that. The person should be willing to forego certain material pursuits for the sake of Torah. It doesn't mean that you have to live that way if one is not in a circumstance that requires that. The person has money, so there's no great shame in that. I think in Fiddle on the Roof, Tevye, the protagonist, he sings If I Were a Rich Man, if those are familiar, he begins by saying, I realize it's no great shame or something to be poor, but it's no great honor either. So I think that's the case. If it's, what the Mishnah is telling us is that a person should be willing to do that, should not let his financial circumstances take him away from the opportunity to be involved in Torah. If somebody doesn't mean you have to go ahead and they give up all the physical pleasures that you have. A person is wealthy and comfortable. Doesn't mean he has to give everything away so that he'll live this life that's described in this Mishnah. So that's on one level. What it means is that a person has to be willing to live somewhat deprived. And it's not only learning Torah, but Torah Ata Omel, which already discussed a few times, means involvement in Torah. It's interesting. There's a lot of discussion right now. In the midst of the coronavirus problem and the financial hardships that's created for people. So all of a sudden, there's a lot of talk about yeshiva tuition that has been a common conversation already for quite a number of years. But now it's come to the fore because now it's clear that people can't afford it and the system is breaking down. And I agree that certain issues have to be addressed. And there are adjustments that can be made. But as others have pointed out, why is it the first thing that people are worried about? Why is it suddenly, we have to find ways to cut costs in yeshiva? Are people looking, and maybe some people are, no doubt, but are people looking to cut costs on extravagant vacations? Are people looking to cut costs on extravagant home building? It's difficult to walk around the community where you see palatial homes, and Baruch Hashem that people can afford it, but then suddenly some of these very same people are complaining, the cost of chinuch and so on is too high. It doesn't quite match. And what the Mishnah is telling us is that for the sake of Torah, that person should deprive himself in other areas. Doesn't mean, again, literally you have to live on the floor and live a life of complete deprivation. But it does mean that person has to give up in other areas. And it's true. It is true that in order to live from life, it's costly, not only in terms of chinuch, but just in terms of shmiras hamitzvahs and so on. Things are expensive and the food is more expensive. And I recognize all of that. For some people, there really is hardship. But this Mishnah says, even as hardship, you have to be amav Torah, and it's ashrecha b'olam hazeh v'tov lach olam haba. They say, I remember when I was visited the yeshiva Chachmei Lublin, which was, the building still exists today. It's a hotel. Today, I actually stayed there once. It's not a kosher hotel, but you can get downstairs. You can have a kosher catering provided in Lublin, Poland. When we took our trip to Poland a number of times, so that's one of the times that's where we stayed in what was once yeshiva building, now a hotel. So it's a beautiful building, and certainly when it was put up by Meir Shapiro, Zichron Levracha, who was the founder of the of course, Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin, also the founder of the Daf Yomi concept. But anyway, he wanted to build a building and a yeshiva where the ruach, the gashmias, would also be taken care of, comfortable rooms and food and so on, and, you know, a fantastic library and three good meals a day, and no other yeshiva had anything like that. Most of the boys in the yeshiva who learned, whether in Valazhin or any of the other big yeshivas, they slept tuck on the floor somewhere. Okay, they were placed in homes in the community who supported them, who barely, people barely had enough food for their own families, and now suddenly they had another mouth or two to feed. And the yeshiva bachur, there was a lot of resentment. It's called Essen Kest, which was the daily eating in the different homes. And the people in the community begrudgingly supported the yeshiva by taking these yeshiva boys in, but they were basically, you know, not given too much because a lot of people didn't have too much. And Rav Meir Shapiro felt that if you have major universities and institutions, you know, of higher learning in the secular world that are beautiful buildings and they have, you know, in those days, running water, electricity, and indoor plumbing and everything, you know, so we should do that for the yeshiva, for Kavanah Torah as well. Why shouldn't our yeshiva students have the same? It was that idea the yeshiva Chachmei Lublin was built. But in any event, one of the stories they said was that, what about this Mishnah? Or what about this Mishnah? It says, you know, Pasma al Tochel, you know, what you're setting up yeshiva that, you know, is catering to the Gashmi's needs as well. That's not what the Mishnah says. So he quipped, he was sharp. He said, no, that's not the Mishnah. You have to understand how to punctuate the Mishnah. It's a question mark, right? He says, Kachi Darka Shel Torah, should that be the way Torah is? Pasma al Tochel, no, not. Okay, I don't think that's a push up shot in the Mishnah, but that's what he answered. But again, I think the pshat is what I just said before. The person has to be willing to do that. The other message, perhaps, of this Mishnah is that a person who was involved in Torah properly, again, not just in learning Torah, but living a Torah life, sometimes doesn't notice even, pays little attention to certain physical or material things. It's not that the person is intentionally going to live this way and so on. But you know what? He's not paying such close attention. He doesn't have that drive, so to speak, that I've got to have the finest of everything and so on. A person who lives a Torah life sometimes won't notice that it's Chayat Tzar, but not to him, right? He doesn't sense it. Again, not everybody's like that, but there are certain people, they're living a certain way, they're comfortable. You go sometimes to places, I remember a particular Talmud Chacham, and Eretz Yisrael that I have a relationship with a little bit. I mean, unfortunately, I haven't seen him in a few years. I haven't been to B'nai Brak. But his name is Ritzvi Cohen. He's written many, many Svarim, including on Tfilas Kalim and on Golas Kalim, many, many Svarim. And I visit him when I'm in B'nai Brak. He lives right near the Letterman Shul, which is where Chaim Kanievsky lives. Anyway, so, you know, I spoke to him. He lives a very simple life, you know, but very happy. You know, he's got a small apartment and, you know, and he learns, involved in learning and writing Svarim, and doesn't notice necessarily that he doesn't have some of the amenities that others have. And again, it's not a rundown or ugly apartment. It's very nice. It's simple. And sometimes maybe that's what the Mishnah is saying. Sometimes to live a Torah life, yeah, it's simple. And we all know people like that. Keep things a little simpler. Maybe that's part of the intent of the Mishnah as well. Next Mishnah, Brisa, hey, says, Al tavakesh gedula la'atzmecha. Don't pursue personal greatness. We already spoke about one of the things that is motzias ha'adam and olam, in addition to kin and tzav, is covet, a person who wants, you know, only greatness for himself. This Brisa warns us, okay, that a person should not pursue covet and gedula. It'll come to you if you deserve it, okay? And this fits in with many things we already discussed, like making sure not to learn Torah for personal gain and so on, pursue certain positions because it's good for your stature. That's one thing. Al tachmon kavod, you know, don't desire kavod. And the other, second point is, yoser milimudecha asei. Yoser milimudecha asei. Do your acts, your deeds, your things that you do should be more than you're learning. And that's, of course, very, very important. And it's timely because it ties into what we're focusing on now, a couple of days before Shavuos, tomorrow night of Shavuos. The Jewish people said, Nase v'nishma, Nase first, Nase first. And there's a lot of literature about that, and that's an important thing that they said. But what does it mean? It means really what counts is what you do. Nishma, meaning learning and understanding, of course, is very important, right? But the Gemara, the end of the first part of Kiddushin, of the Reshma Limud and Maisa, Gedola Limud Shemeva De Maisa, and so on. What a person does is a certain, in a certain sense, is more important than what he knows and understands. There's no doubt that a person has to know. You have to know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. You have to know what the mitzvahs are and so on. And a person has to learn. But ultimately, it's really Yosem Levedecha Asei. It's what you do that counts. It's the performance of the mitzvahs. It's the living a certain lifestyle. It's not enough to, so we said so many times about Pirkei Avos, it's learning Torah is not an intellectual discipline. It is an intellectual discipline, but it's not its goal. So therefore, Yosem Levedecha Asei. And the other point that concludes this brisa is our our employer will pay the proper wages that we deserve. Now it's interesting. Sometimes we hear the term schar va'onish. I think I've mentioned this in the past, maybe in Shir. Sometimes we hear the term schar va'onish, and we translate it as reward and punishment. I don't think reward is really the right the right translation for schar. It's not wrong, but it's not fully accurate. Because a reward implies something above and beyond, right? I did something I didn't really have to do, and I get a reward for it. I'm rewarded for this good behavior. I get a reward. I wasn't really entitled to it necessarily. I think that's usually how the word reward is used. And schar, as mentioned in this Mishnah, is the regular meaning of schar, your wages. At schar pulasech, you get wages. Okay, when you do a job, I do my job, so I go to the yeshiva or whatever, I'm on Zoom now, teach, and I get paid. That's not a reward. My paycheck isn't a reward. Okay, it's what I've earned. It's what I'm entitled to. I do something extra that nobody asked me to do. So then sometimes you get a reward. But schar here, and I think in the phrase schar va'onesh also doesn't mean reward. It means wages. It means earning, the consequence of what you did. And therefore, it's an important point to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays, quote-unquote, or gives reward, but not reward in the sense of something extra, but in the sense of what you're entitled to, your wages, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays you your wages. We've had this concept earlier in Pirkei Avos, and the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps track of everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of everything, and therefore the schar va'onesh is really what a person deserves, what a person is a consequence. You know, sometimes the same thing is true of onesh. It's not a punishment necessarily in the sense of, you're getting something you didn't really deserve, and so on. You deserve it. It's more of a consequence. You know, I'm giving an example sometimes, explaining to children, or to even all the Talmidim, if a little baby is crawling around and sticks his or her finger into an electric socket, God forbid, he's going to get a shock, okay? Is that a punishment? It's not a punishment, right? Or if someone touches a hot pot on the stove, so you're going to scald your hand, it's not a punishment. It's a result, right? It's a consequence. You touch something hot, you scald your hand, you put your finger in a socket, you can get an electric shock. We wouldn't view that as a punishment. The person did something wrong, there's no doubt. The child did something, that he shouldn't have done. He shouldn't have put his, now you can get these, in my house for the grandchild, plastic inserts that protect, you have to protect. But if someone gets hurt, it's not a punishment, it's a consequence, it's a result. So schar va'onesh in that sense, I think, is a consequence. And what a person deserves, he gets, and that's what Mishnah is telling us. Shisha HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going, in other words, no, we have an English expression, no good deed goes unpunished, right? It's a sort of a tongue-in-cheek, cynical remark. You do something, it ends up backfiring, causing you trouble. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ledger, so to speak, no good deed goes unnoticed. Okay, and no bad thing goes on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps track of everything and he weighs everything. And I think this is a basic statement that Amun and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's really both the idea of this Mishnah, Yosem Elubedecha Asei, which ties in Nasa V'Nishma, and the notion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trustworthy, so to speak, is be dependent, reliable, to give you what you deserve, I think are significant lessons, specifically an Erev Shavuos. Okay, which of course is tomorrow. Tomorrow night is Yontif. And we focus upon what the Torah means to us. And the Torah, we're involved in the yeshiva, so we're learning. We're trying to get smicha. We're studying. We're learning Yeridei, and we're learning whatever else. We're learning Gemara. But let's not lose sight of the fact that ultimately It's our actions that count more. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks after. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You do the right things, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you not reward, schar in the sense of reward, but schar in the sense of wages. And let's take the opportunity to wish everybody a good Yontif, a good Shavuos. And we'll be in touch Sunday morning. We'll see if people want to continue the Sunday morning or Monday morning. We'll have to see what's next week. Next week is still Chazara week, right? That's what I said. So hope the Chazara is going well. And Bez Hashem, we'll be in touch after Yontif. Everyone should have a wonderful Yontif, a healthy Yontif, you and your family. And we should learn as much as we can. Even we're not going to have all-night shiurim in the shul, but a person nevertheless makes sure to set aside significant amounts of time for learning on shuls. Have a wonderful day.